Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We give you all the praise and all the glory this morning as we worship you. And we're so thankful that Jesus came to earth. We're so thankful he became our Savior, our Deliverer, our Provider. He died on the cross for us. And we are so grateful. This morning, we're going to receive communion. And I have it up here, so I need... Maybe Steve and Paul can give out the elements for us this morning. I'm going to put on a light. And what I saw, though, is... Hold on a second. I need somebody to do lighting. I got to see you guys. Okay, I had a vision. And for all those that have people that are in the hospital... Like, Stacy, I saw you taking an extra elements for Linda. Dawn, I saw you taking extra elements for Scott. Besides yourselves. Eve, I saw you taking it for Dan. And who was the other person? Hi, guys. There's somebody else. Craig's mom. Where's Craig? Oh, okay. And anyone else would like to take an extra for... Rita, you want to take for David, maybe? And if any, just tell them that you want an extra set. And as we receive communion this morning, we're going to believe for them to be healed. Okay? The Lord showed me that last night. So we have to do what he says, right? So anyway... Just so to remind you about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, Paul said, the same night in which Jesus was handed over, he took bread and gave thanks. Then he distributed it to the disciples and said, take it and eat your fill. It is my body which has been given for you. Do this to remember me. He did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant in his blood. Hallelujah. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do this to remember me. And whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. For this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in the wrong spirit will be guilty of dishonoring the body and the blood of the Lord. So let each individual first evaluate his own attitude, and only then eat the bread and drink the cup. For continually eating and drinking with the wrong spirit will bring judgment upon yourself by not recognizing the body. That's Jesus' body, what he did for us. This insensitivity is why many of us are weak, chronically ill, and some even dying. Now, it says in Psalm 103, this is our benefit package. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Say all. All. Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? And then it says down below in 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame, and he is mindful that we are just but dust. Hallelujah. So remember the benefits. And as we look back this morning, reflect on 2025. It's coming behind us now. We had some of us had some very trying 2025. Okay? It's been one of those years. And we're ready to enter into the new. So as we judge ourselves right now, if there's anything that we need to confess or forgive, just ask the Holy Spirit, and he will, you know, tell you. And as we do this, we're bringing healing to our bodies and healing to those that need to be healed today. Amen. There's many out there sick in hospitals and nursing homes, and we want God to visit them, right? And even today, there's some people out today that are sick. So, Lord, we thank you. Let's just take a moment. Thank you, Jesus. I see that you're pretty much ready. So let's take this little cracker that represents Jesus' body that he gave so freely. He became the bread of life. Amen. He came to bring us life and bring it more abundantly. And he went sacrificially for us on that cross for every one of us. So let's just thank him for his body. Thank you. Lift up the cup, which represents his blood that sealed the new covenant that we have with him. And he paid the price. He was covered in blood from the top of his head to the very soles of his feet for us. And by his stripes, repeat that, by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise you, Jesus. Take a moment to collect the cups. And then we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. Even as I read the scripture in Luke 6, if you need an envelope this morning, you can raise your hand. If you want to give through a credit or debit card, just turn around. Alan is at the back desk. And before it says given, it shall be given, the Lord reminds us to forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. And then he says, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Good measure, shaken down, to make room for even more. Abundant gifts will be poured out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. And as we measure our generosity that goes out, it comes back to us. So give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And then we'll pray for all those that are in hospital or nursing homes, out sick today. Praying for safe travels too, because we're supposed to get bad weather again later. So, well, Father, as we come together this morning, we're so grateful and thankful for being our healer, our deliverer, our provider. Lord, we just want to lift up all those that are in nursing homes and hospitals this morning. Linda Smith and Scott, Craig's mom, Dan, if there's anyone else that I don't know of, Lord, we just lift them up. We lift up Rita's son David to you. We lift up all those that are ill this morning, Lord. or family and friends that need healing in their bodies. We pour the blood of Jesus all over them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. We declare in unity and agreement that they shall be healed according to your word. So, Lord, we thank you. By your Jesus' stripes, they are already healed. We are already healed, and our manifestation is just believing in you that you are the healer. So, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory right now for what you're doing. And after they receive the tithes and offerings, we'll pray for that. Yay, God. Thank you, Lord. Hey, kids, did you have a good Christmas? Don't talk to me. That's what this, don't look at me. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Okay. And Lord, we lift up all those that are traveling, Lord. Just keep everyone safe and sound, and we pour the blood of Jesus all over everybody's vehicles, Lord. And we pray for safety today. And also, we lift up these tithes and offerings to you, Lord, and we give it unto you, Lord. And as we give it to you, you said you receive it, and it's already being multiplied back to the givers, Lord. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for everything that you are to us. We're so grateful. Words cannot express the gratitude that we have in our hearts for Jesus. So, Father, we thank you that you got good things planned for us, that we could put 2025 behind and move forward into 2026 with great expectations of your glory, Lord. So, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're going to do ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. You got a word.
I wasn't going to give it, but when you said that, I said, okay, I got to give it. I know a lot of you have seen the old movie, The Ten Commandments, and when he split the sea and he walked through, well, it was like I was on the set and I was actually in there. It was that close and the water just went up. And I heard the Lord say that 26 is going to be that year for us, that it's going to seem like suddenly, but it's not really a suddenly, because all of this year, he's been doing little things that we might not even notice. And when they come to fruition, it's going to feel like a suddenly, but I feel there's going to be a lot of breakthrough in 2026.
Yes, that goes with my message. Hallelujah. I know, I love it how God puts, you got a word too, Craig? Well, you started a walk, so.
To the bathroom. I did hear that God says that how we go through this horrible stuff, and you know, 2025 was pretty nasty for an awful lot of people, and not just one time either. But he very well knows it. And some of us, he shows me how, not that all of us really know this, but he shows me how we think it's really horrible. It is. But we go through it ourselves. You know, we think we go through it ourselves, and how can you let it be? So the word is planned. He plans it all. But it's for the purpose of others. When we experience what we've been experiencing, then you tend to get a confidence in it, and you get authority through it. Then you're the one that gets to help others, you know, who will also think that God's against them. Not really that we did, but others will, you know, and it's going to be our turn to take care of some business that the Lord plants us in, using the authority that we gained going through the horrible times. So the last thing was that he says that we're counted extra blessed by the Lord because we agree to experience some of that suffering that Jesus is well acquainted with. You got what I'm saying? Thank you, God.
Amen. Okay. Well, I see some unfamiliar faces, but you seem familiar. And I welcome you. Stacy, is that? Stephanie. Welcome, Stephanie. And you guys, you look familiar. You've been here before? A few weeks ago? Yeah, I saw it. Okay, welcome. Okay, I'm just going to give you a couple of announcements, and then we'll move into the message. Okay, Tuesday, of course, we're still canceling our prayer time at 3 o'clock in the afternoon until after the Christmas holiday. We will return back to prayer January 6th at 3 o'clock. Now, January 6th is a very special day for Alan. It's not that special, but for all those that don't come out to prayer at 3 o'clock for intercessory prayer on Tuesday, please lift up Alan. He's going in for heart surgery. Yes. And it's going to be successful, and he's going to come out better than he was, right? So we're believing for that. So kind of remember that. Write it down somewhere so you don't forget to pray for him. Okay, all our messages are recorded and posted on the tfhcf.org. In case of bad weather, we'll text you if we have your cell to cancel service for that Sunday as early as possible. Okay, so if it's iffy, text me. On the back table, there's a schedule, and on the bottom is our my cell number and Paul and Trish. And also that's for prayer. So you could text us if you have a prayer request at any time or if you need us to answer a question. Okay, upcoming guest speakers in 2026. We have February 1st, 2026, Sunday at 10:30 will be Dennis Rainier. Yes, we love him. And July 11th and 12th, we're looking forward to that. That sounds really nice right now. Saturday and Sunday, Dean Braxton will be back with us, and he's going to do a seminar on Sunday, a worship seminar, and we'll have more details on that as we get closer. So that's all I have on the book so far, but it'll get filled in. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hi, Josiah. Okay. 2026. All right, let me pray and then we'll get into the word. Father, we just thank you and praise you for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you that the body of Christ is ready. We are ready. We are ready to go into 2026 with a new wineskin. Remember that? We're a new wineskin ready. We've been prepared. We're ready to receive everything that you have for us to do, Lord, all our new positions and everything that you have, Lord, and all the open doors and all the favor, Lord, and we're looking forward to a new beginning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, so the name of my message today is 2025 Reflection to 2026 The Glory. Now, the Lord really blows my mind. He gives me two words, reflect and glory. And I said, how are they connected? I asked Holy Spirit, help me to bring these two words together in a message. So what is God saying? So I started looking back on my messages from the past 12 months. And as I went through, the theme for 2025 was the year of transformation, the year of change. The Lord has been purifying us, healing us inside and out. We've been discovering who we are, discovering our callings, discovering new relationships, building our faith. He has been restoring and making us put the past behind, even the past before the 2025. All that stuff from the past got to be healed up so we can go forward into His glory in 2026. Now, the theme of 2025 was the joy of the Lord is our strength. We kept saying it and singing it. So I looked again at the Hebrew New Year, which began September 22nd, 2025. I read my notes for 5786 was the new Hebrew year. So let me go through those to remind you of what it said. It's very interesting. Number 5 is the number of grace, representing God's unmerited favor and his empowering presence. It also signifies victory and divine enablement, reminding us that completion comes not through human effort, but through the grace of God. Now, of course, we know that number 5 is grace, means favor. Number 7 speaks of completion and a perfection through warfare. In scripture, it is often tied to cycles of fulfillment, divine rest, and the completion of a spiritual journey. Through perseverance, faith, and victory is always secured. Number 7, we went through a lot of warfare last year, right? We completed a season or a cycle so we can start a new one. Number 8, 5786. Number 8 symbolizes new beginnings, resurrection, and eternal life. It points to the transition from the old into the new, the breaking forth of a new day, and the power of renewal through Christ Jesus. Now, remembering, so I went back and remembering the messages we did on the old wineskins and the new wineskins, changing the old ways or the old way of thinking, and opening up ourselves to a change, to renew us into a new wineskin, a new season, a new beginning to us, so we can hold all this new. Also, remembering the message about the caterpillar turning into the butterfly message, remember that one? Transforming us into a new self. Okay, number 6 in the Hebrew year, it says, carries profound prophetic weight. Biblically, it is associated with humankind as humility was created on the sixth day. In Hebrew, the number 6 is the letter Vav, V-A-V. It represents connecting, securing, and joining. It functions as a nail that fixes two things together, or as a hook that draws something into place. Symbolically, it is the divine link between heaven and earth. The Hebrew letter Vav, V-A-V, is the number 6. The word Vav is what connects heaven and earth. It's connecting God's heavenly purposes to our earthly lives. It's joining together the physical and the spiritual worlds. Number 6 is connecting heaven to earth. It brings the steadiness, securedness, and firmness into our world. What a promise for each of us to see heaven release into our world with glorious balance, divine order, and perfect rhythm of God's unfailing in 5786. We will truly taste in real time God's goodness as well as his greatness. That was my notes from September 22nd, somewhere around there. Now, number 6 is also in 2026. God is connecting us together, heaven and earth, bringing his purpose and divine order to us. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Tasting God's goodness as well as his greatness. Great things are going to happen. So this year is where, or 2026, I believe, is where God's glory will manifest on us, through us, and into the earthly realm. I heard some prophets say that we are stepping into the glory age. I agree with what they're saying because of the message from the Holy Spirit. So what is God's glory? The glory of God has many facets to it. I'm going to take you and show you what some of it means. Here is an overview of some of the examples which Steve gave of his glory. The glory was first revealed through his creation. It is identified with human creation in the image of God, and we are crowned with his glory. Now, all throughout the central theme of the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is the theme of God's glory. Now, in the wilderness, when Moses was receiving the law on Mount Sinai, it was covered in smoke. His glory, his presence was there. Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory. His response, God proclaimed his name and goodness rather than a visual spectacle of himself. His glory, God's glory, is his goodness. God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock because he couldn't see his face or he would die. His glory was revealed in Exodus as a cloud by day, and his glory is linked to fire, shining bright light at night like in Exodus. Also, when they walked through the Red Sea, that was God's glory, holding up those waves so they could walk through and holding back the enemy, that's all his glory. His glory manifests in filling the tabernacle and the temple, and the earth was filled with his glory. His glory was revealed in visions with Isaiah and Ezekiel, and is identified with God's people, Israel. His glory is identified with Christ, with his incarnation, his miracles, his transfiguration, his suffering, and his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension, his ruling and reigning, his victory, and his coming back. The glory is also identified with Holy Spirit, and the glory is manifested in the church. The glory is manifested in our new creation, our transformation into a new creation after we become born again. The meaning of the word glory. In the Hebrew, the term for glory is kabod. The word stems from the root that means weight or heaviness. It's God's manifested presence. His presence may seem heavy at times. Sometimes we come in here and his presence comes upon us and it's heavy and you can hardly move, right? Now, the Greek term for glory is doxa. God's manifestation of his person, his presence, and his works, especially his power, judgment, and salvation. Essentially, God himself is glory. It belongs to him alone. He is glorious in his perfections. He is magnificent and beautiful, and his glory is shown outwardly in his communication with us and his creation and redemption. I mean, you see his glory everywhere. His glory, he displays his glory in his works, in mankind, and in the earth. God's people respond to him when we see all this glory, when he comes. We glorify him. God receives glory through uniting his people to Christ. The glory of God is shown all throughout the scriptures. It encompasses his nature, his presence, and he displays his attributes. God's perfection and his attributes are displayed in action. Here's some of his attributes. God is holy. We sing that all the time. God is love. God is power. God is all-knowing. God is omnipresent. God is merciful. God is good. God is faithful. And God is just. He is a just God. And all my papers are sticking together. Hallelujah. Okay, in 2 Peter 1:17, Deja will put that up on the screen. God shows his personal work of Christ, which shows the majesty behind the concept of divine glory. Now I'm going to read 2 Peter 1:17. I should start in 16. Okay, we were not retelling some master, I'm using the passion, by the way. We were not retelling some masterful crafted legend when we informed you of the power and the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we saw his magnificence and splendor unveiled before our very eyes. Yes, Father God lavished upon him radiant glory and honor when his distinct voice spoke out of the realm of majestic glory, endorsing him with these words, "This is my cherished son, marked by my love. All my delight is found in him." And we ourselves heard that voice resound from the heavens while we were with him on the holy mountain. And that was Peter's account of what he saw with Jesus. And in Psalm 19:1, the scripture associates God's glory with his creative power. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands," suggesting a creator of infinite grandeur of his workmanship, his beauty, his complexity in the order of the universe. How everything just is together. Only God could do that. In Exodus 13:21, the Israelites were going into the wilderness, and the Lord provided the pillar of cloud by day and the fire at night. And in 1 Kings 8:10 through 11, the glory filled the temple. These examples represent tangible manifestations of his divine presence, often referred to us as the Shekinah glory. That is his holiness and his personal involvement with his people. Now, I saw a cloud like that of smoke once with my own eyes. We were in the middle of it. This is years ago, and it never manifested this thick ever since then, and I'm waiting for that time again. But we were having a Bible study on Friday night, and we were all in worship, and the worship just got so heavy that this cloud came into the room, and it was so thick we couldn't see each other, and we just fell to the floor. And I kept my door open for people that would come in late, and they came in and they fell right out, and people got instantly healed. It was so amazing. It was like, but I've never seen it since, but I'm waiting for that day again, and it's awesome. Huh?
Do it again.
Do it again, Lord. Amen. So in John 1:14, John proclaims, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and he dwelled among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Here, divine glory is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, who embodied the character and the presence of God. Jesus' miracles that were recorded with eyewitness accounts points to the divine glory that manifested on the earth when Jesus was here. And I believe those things are coming again. Looking at God's glory as revelation, revealed to us as believers, the Bible describes God's glory as his majestic presence. Us witnessing or understanding God's glory reveals his character and invites a response of awe and reverence. This awareness of his divine presence strengthens our faith by affirming that God is reliable, he's sovereign, he's all supreme power and all authority. And it creates a trust in his plans for each and every one of us. We can rely on it. His glory has transformative effect on us as believers. Encountering God's glory initiates personal transformation. We are sanctified in 2 Corinthians 3:18, emphasizing that we as believers are transformed from glory to glory. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 3:18. And she'll have that up there. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We reflect him. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That is so awesome. Acknowledging God's glory encourages us believers to embody God's divine attributes, such as love, mercy, generosity. We become in alignment with righteousness, doing what is right. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether you eat or drink, live your life in a way that glorifies and honors God. That's all it says there. Faith will be strengthened. Direct experiences of God's glory deepens trust and spiritual confidence, proving resilience in life's challenges. Now let's look up Romans 8:18-25. It's all about his glory. Yep, keep saying it. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Ooh. It says here, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. That's for today, guys. That's for today. Listen to this. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty fertility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation, as if it were in contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit, that was Paul talking about what they got, also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status. I'm not there yet. Our full status of God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of our salvation. Whoa! Wow. I got chills all over me. Okay. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. We're still waiting, still believing. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? Wow, it's almost like he was writing for this day. So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. The fullness of Christ in us. We are coming into the fullness of his glory as sons and daughters in the fullness of his Spirit. His glory is our motivation for worship, prayer, devotion. God's glory functions as our focal point in worshiping Him. Our personal worship becomes heartfelt devotion, aligning our desires with His character. Our corporate worship, shared experiences of God's glory, strengthens unity and mutual encouragement. Our prayer and obedience acts in accordance with God's will and reflects His glory and sustains a faith-filled relationship with Him. Now let's turn to John 14:13. It says, "For I will do whatever you ask me to do." This is Jesus speaking. "For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to Him. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you." Wow. Woo. I don't know what to say. And God's glory influences us to serve and to do His mission. It gives us a spiritual perspective to serve. We glorify God for what He has done for us, and we want to be a witness to the world and do good works for Him. Now let's turn to Romans 8:27-30. This is about us now. "God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings. Yet He also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny." He's always interceding for us to be in total harmony, because He's got a plan and a destiny for us to fulfill. "So we are convinced that every detail of our lives are continually woven together, constantly being woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His designed purpose. For He knew all about us before we were born, and He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of His Son. This means the Son is the oldest among His vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like Him." Then it says in 30, "Having determined our destiny ahead of time," He's talking about all of us here, "He called us to Himself and transferred His perfect righteousness to everyone He called. And those who possess His perfect righteousness, He co-glorified with His Son." Co-glorified. God is glorified in God's plans for us and our destinies. So in conclusion, we're going to go real quick. Exodus 33, I'm not going to read the verses. Exodus 33:18-19, God reveals His goodness as His glory. John 1:14, Jesus embodies God's glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are transformed into God's image from glory to glory. Matthew 5:16, good works reflect His glory. Revelation 21:23, God's glory illuminates in the New Jerusalem. God's glory affects our faith by revealing His nature, transforming us believers, guiding us to worship and to be obedient, motivating us to purposeful action and sustaining hope. Recognizing and reflecting God's glory strengthens us to trust, deepens our spiritual life, and aligns personal and corporate church activities with divine purpose. our faith as believers participates in the manifestation of God's glory and turning understanding of it into a faithful action. As 2025 ends, we reflect back to the year that God was transforming us from glory to glory to catapult us into 2026 in his manifested glory, which we will see in the coming days, the days of glory. That means get ready, because all things are possible. All things are possible. And I'm going to end with this verse, Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has been risen upon you. Amen. Glory to God. Lord, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We thank you, Lord. I got chills all over me. Lord, I thank you for your glory, Lord. Fill us with your glory, Lord. Let people see your glory through us, Lord. Let us be a light unto your world. Lord, we know that the light is your glory. Everything about you is about your glory. So, Lord, we thank you for manifesting this year, the year coming, 2026, saying goodbye to 2025 and going into 2026 with an understanding of your glory, Lord. And we know that when your glory manifests, all things are possible with you. We'll see things, like Steve said, suddenly things just happening. It may start out slow in the beginning of the year, but I believe it's going to keep increasing and increasing and increasing. Many salvations are going to come into the kingdom in 2026. Lord, people are going to be so filled with the Spirit. The places are going to be on fire. Lord, we thank you that even a revolution of the youth coming forth out of the colleges, the universities, Lord, all filled up with your Spirit, on fire with the glory of God, releasing it everywhere. Lord, I thank you for this moment, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a destiny for each of us to fulfill. I thank you that your favor is on us, Lord. And even your Hebrew year, 5786, is signifying all this. And Lord, we receive it now. And we thank you for that favor on our friends and our family. And things are going to turn around. And breakthroughs will happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Woo! If you need prayer today, come on up. We're here for you. God bless you guys. Have a great new year. We'll see you next Sunday. It'll be January. What date would it be then? Next Sunday's date. 3, 4? It'll be January 4th. So stay safe. Enjoy your family and friends, and be safe on the roads. Okay, glory. I can't stop saying glory. Thank you, God. Woo!